Now, I was talking to someone recently, and we were talking about suffering. And the person said to me, well, I know that you as someone of faith can cope better with suffering, because I've noticed that those who have faith are able to cope with that. But some people have faith, and some people don't. And I don't. So, essentially, there's nothing I can do about it. Now, I wonder what you think about faith. Because that is a very common idea, that some people have this kind of slightly nebulous quality that you can't quite pin down. And it's something you have or you haven't, and different people have faith. They're not just thinking about the Christian faith, they're thinking about this general kind of fluffy thing that allows some people to have some kind of connection with the unseen, which gives them comfort. And they're not really worried about whether that connection is real or fanciful or meaningful or just made up, but they just think that that's a kind of nice feeling that can give people comfort. Now, you probably won't be surprised when I'm saying that the Bible does not talk about faith. There's some form of fuzzy feeling that gives you vague comfort. Faith is like a three-legged stool. And there are three legs. All three are absolutely needed for true faith. The first leg is about something that we know. Faith begins when we hear the gospel message, specific facts about the Lord Jesus Christ, and understand them. We understand what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ coming and living and dying and rising and ascending and saving. That's the first leg of this three-legged stool about of faith. Now, have you ever tried to sit on a one-legged stool? It's not going to be very useful as a stool, is it? But there's some people around, and they'll just say, well, hey, I know some stuff about the Christian faith. And they think that that kind of puts them in a good position. But that puts them in no better position than someone trying to sit on a one-legged stool, which is going to be rather silly. So the second leg that you need to make sure that stool has got, it's not just, the first one is to know, but the second leg is to accept. To accept and receive the gospel message as true. You see, there's people out there who were happy to know some stuff about the Bible, but really they go to the Bible with their scissors and they want to kind of pick and mix. And they want to say, well, I like that bit. Take that bit, that's quite a nice comforting promise. That's a bit too challenging. We'll just snip that one out. And, oh, I'm not sure about that. That challenges my ideas a bit too much. And you can't do cut and paste with the Bible. That's not where you're going to be comfortable. Because to have true faith is we accept what the Bible says and the promises of the Bible, God's promises to us, as true, as unshakable and sure. So that's two legs of the stool, to know and to accept. Anyone try to sit on a two-legged stool? Does it stay up? It doesn't. Because, again, people can think, well, I've got faith because, hey, I am going to say, I know about the Bible. I know what it teaches. And I accept it to be true. Which puts you at the level of the devil and the demons. As God says in James, you believe in God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. They're orthodox theologians. They know it and they accept it to be true. They've got no other choice. But they don't have faith. So faith, the third leg of the stool, we know, we accept, and then we rely. That third leg. That means there is a personal trust in God when we rest upon the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. Now, those three legs of the stool, as when you're making a stool, you know, when you go and get your flat pack instructions, many of you have been there, you get the pictures out and you look at them and you look at the bits of wood and you look at the screws and you've got them all together and you try and follow, there's stage one, there's stage two and there's stage three. Have you ever tried to take them in the wrong order and you think, I'll just speed this one up and we'll just do that bit, and then you suddenly find a piece of wood and you'll just slot it in and you think, oh no, that doesn't fit past that piece of wood. There was a reason why I had to do things in a certain order. Now, it's the same with faith. Some people think, well, I can just kind of rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the problem is, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ on whom they're relying. And so, we're going to look at these three things: to know, to accept, and to rely, in the order that they come. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We need to hear in order to have faith. So faith is not something that's magical. And if you're sitting there today saying, well, I would love to have faith, but I just don't seem to be able to. Well, follow God's order. Begin at the beginning. And that is where John begins. John is there, as we see him in 1 John, as a witness. He says to us in verse 2 that he testifies. He said, I'm an eyewitness, I'm testifying to you. And he's absolutely clear what he wants for us. Look at verse 3 with me. John says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. John's saying, I want you to have a relationship with God, with the Father and the Son. But in order to do that, you need to know some things first. I don't know, as you read those words, you might have thought, hang on a second, John. I thought you'd be saying, I write these things so that you might have fellowship with the Father and then with us. But that's not what he says, is it? He says, I write these things so that, or these things I proclaim, that you may have fellowship with us. Why does that come first? Well, John's writing to some people who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And from their number, some people have gone off. And they've got a different view of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what John is saying is, it's not that anybody who says, I follow Jesus Christ, has actually got true faith. They haven't. And many people today are confused about Jesus Christ. There was another group there that was confused. Some people say, well, Jesus, he was a good man, but he was only a prophet. Or he was a good man, but he was only a man. Or he only seemed to be like a man. Well, where do we go back to? Well, where does John go back to in verse 1? Begin at the beginning. And he begins for us, as we need to begin, with the eyewitnesses. If we want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, if we want to have true faith, the first leg of the stool is to know. The second leg of the stool is to accept. And to come down that road of knowledge and acceptance, we need to go back to the eyewitnesses and see what they are saying. And they're talking about something big. You might think, well, if he's talking about Jesus, why does he call Jesus that? How would you have started that? If I was going to start this, I would say, he, who was from the beginning. He is the word of life. But John's talking about something bigger. He's saying that not just Jesus, but the whole message of Jesus, the whole gospel message, the word of life, not just Christ, but his message as well. So then, this morning, let's look and see what are the things that God wants us to know about the Lord Jesus Christ from one of his eyewitnesses. Well, the first thing we see in verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ is a true man. The Lord Jesus Christ is a true man. John says he is the one which we have heard. His voice entered John's ears. Now, if I talk to some of you today who are beyond millennial, they're a bit older. Now, you might remember these things called landline telephones. And when you had an old landline telephone, you know, the ones where you got your finger in and you pulled it round. Some of you would just consider this as a museum, but you pull it round, and then there was no caller display, there was no caller ID, there was none of that. So the thing went ring, ring. You picked it up, and you heard a voice. And if, like me, you knew some people who like to play games, they would talk for a while without telling you who they were. And you had to listen to their voice and try and work out who it was and make sure you get it right. Someone did that to me once when I was at work, and I had to work it out. By hearing someone's voice, we know who they are. And certain voices are very familiar to us. I recommend it, if I could just play you a recording now of your mother or father's voice, boom, you would be tuned in. You've heard that voice because you've known from long experience that that voice is a voice that must be heard. Now, John is saying, I heard the Lord Jesus Christ's voice. It was unmistakable to me. I heard it from the beginning. I heard it all the time he was here on earth. From the beginning goes more than that, but it certainly goes from this time when he was on earth. John was there from the time of Jesus' baptism. That was one of the qualifications to be an apostle. That's what Peter said when he was trying to select a new apostle to replace Judas. Someone who's with Christ from the baptism of John. John was there, River Jordan. And he heard him teaching. John heard the voice of Jesus when he told Peter near Capernaum, drop down your nets. And there was that huge catch of fish. And Peter had to tell James and John, come over here and help us. That was at the start of the time when John was following Jesus. And when Jesus had died and risen again, and Peter and John were up in Galilee fishing, it seems in the same boat this time, there was a man on the shore who said, let down your nets. And what did John say? It's the Lord. He suddenly realized, I know him. I've heard that voice before. Drop down your nets, big catch once, drop down your nets, big catch again. John's saying, I have heard him. This is a true man who I can tell you about. No mistake. Not just that, John says, I've seen him, which we have seen with our eyes. We're talking to someone who's been there when water became wine, who's given out bread and fish that fed 5,000 people and then fed 4,000 people. He's been there when he's seen the dead raised. He's been outside Lazarus's tomb when Lazarus has come out. He's been there when the blind have been made to see, the deaf have been made to hear, the dumb have been made to speak. Now, remember when John was loose in Jerusalem after Jesus had gone back to heaven, then the people controlling the temple authorities, tried a bit of witness intimidation. They severely warned Peter and John, and then they beat them and told them to stop talking. What was John's response? Along with Peter, they said together, we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. So John is saying, I've seen it. I've heard it. I'm not being quiet. And that was to the end of his life. This we have in front of us is towards the end of his life. And he's saying, I'm not being quiet. These things I am standing by. And then John says that we have looked upon. You might say, well, John, you've just said this, you've seen it. Well, I know you've looked at it. What's the difference? Well, this time, he's thinking about contemplating. I don't know if you like going to art galleries. I'm not a huge frequenter of art galleries. When I have been in something like the National Gallery, you know, you see these huge landscape paintings and they give you a bench to sit in front of it, because it's not the kind of museum where you go in and just kind of walk by, what you can do. But people sit on the bench and then you look, and you look at the different detail, and you see the scenery, you see the effects of the light and darkness, the shadow, the way they've used colour, the way they've brought little details out, where they've made it come to life. And you look upon it, you contemplate it, you study it. That's what John's saying he's done of Jesus. John hasn't just had a passing glance. He knows the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine him looking at him? Who is this? The wind and the waves obey him. He's looking at him. Who is this? What kind of man is this? He looked at the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He was there, wasn't he? He saw him. Do you remember when John ran to the tomb? He looked and he saw the grave clothes. He looked in and he saw them, not stolen by some grave robber, but folded up. He looked and he believed. John is someone who is a contemplator. You know when you're out with children and there's someone comes by who's a bit unusual, then as adults we're trained. We might have a little glance out the corner of our eye, but we keep our heads forwards. What about children? Well, they're like that, aren't they? And what do you have to say? Don't stare. Well, what John is saying, he's contemplated, he's looked, he's studied. It's not something he's made a mistake about. I've looked upon him. This true man, he's heard him, he's seen him, he's looked upon him. And then he says, have touched with our hands. Touched with our hands. Now, when you have someone like the Lord Jesus Christ, when people foolishly decide to try and draw pictures of him, which obviously the Second Commandment forbids, when they do that, they make a range of errors. There's so many errors. You can't believe they picture him as a white man, which is crazy because he's from the Middle East. They picture him in some kind of halo effect and so on. But it's this kind of mysticism about him, as if he's sometimes something strange, something that people would be kind of scared even to come near. You know, we had the thing President Biden meets Charles, and the analysts are saying, did Biden pat Charles on the back, or can he touch him? And there's Kate at Wimbledon, and does she give a hug? And there's, you're touching royalty, and this is all a bit kind of special. Well, that doesn't seem to be how it was at all with Jesus and his disciples. Remember Jesus in the bottom of the boat? There's a storm going on, and he's asleep in the bottom of the boat. Now, you don't get the impression from the account that the disciples kind of like whispered quietly in his ear and said, oh, God, I don't want to touch him. You can imagine them, can't they? These are rough fishermen kind of shaking him and saying, wake up. Do you not care that we could perish? John's saying, he's a real man. When he rose from the dead, he said, come on, put your fingers to Thomas in my hands and in my side, stop doubting and believe, based on what they could know. John himself, and we've seen about this in one of our hymns, at the Last Supper, John, probably a young man, it seems by the length of time he lived, a young man when Jesus was alive, and possibly a teenager, as they were reclined on the couches, and John leaned back onto Jesus' chest. He's a real man, John's saying. He's a true man. John is saying, bank your life on it. I knew him as a real man. True man. No doubt about it. And then more briefly, John then goes on to say, he's not just true man. We don't just need to know him as true man, though we do need to know him as true man. Living, breathing, walking, talking. But we need to know him as true God. As true God. Now, John's using a very large sentence, which can be difficult for us to follow, but he's talking about, you see under verse 1, the things he's talking about concern the word of life. And then, certainly in the the Bible I've got in front of me, there's like a dash before verse 2, and then there's a dash again before verse 3. So the whole of verse 2 is a kind of like a bit in brackets, which is explaining the word of life. The word of life. And when we think about him as the word, John began his gospel, in the beginning was the word, he's talking about the one who reveals God because he is God. He's saying this is he has come, that, which was from the beginning, he comes as a word to show us what God was like. Now we live in a visual culture, don't we? People want to have pictures, and you've got Instagram out there. It's just like, let's get a picture. And you have pictures of people, and you keep seeing these pictures, and someone's obviously doing a selfie, and they spent a long time kind of crafting this background here at the sea. You can see, spot the holidaymakers, because they're all just at the sea. They're trying to get their right selfie by the sea and project the right image. But you don't get to know someone by seeing what their profile picture is like. How do you get to know someone? It's when they start to talk to you. Christ is the word of life. He reveals God in all that he is, but it's particularly as he spoke and as he explained what God was like and the message that God was bringing. He came preaching the kingdom of God. So, true God, we see him, Christ coming as the word of life. But we see him as the one who was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. And then it says, the life was made manifest. So he was there in the beginning, and then he was made known in time when he took on the body and soul of a man. Now, you know, you have in the records of the kings and queens, if you look at the list of kings and queens, to have a nice list of dates, you have the list of the dates when they reigned, so that they all follow on. So if you follow through, you see Henry VII, there he was, 1485. But you think, well, he didn't come to reign as a baby. So, okay, well, you think, well, how old was he? Well, history doesn't record that. In the list of kings and queens, it's just the dates when they were reigning. And so we have here Jesus. John knew him for when he came on the scene. But there's also a much bigger backstory, an eternal existence, before he came on the scene of human history. He entered as a man, but had eternally existed as the Son of God, that which was from the beginning. And it was then that, and he came in this world, in verse 2, John says he was made manifest. He was made known. The life was made manifest. He's saying, when he was born, as he lived, as he died, as he rose, he was made known as the life, and particularly made known as the life at his resurrection. How do you know that he is the life, bursting with life? Well, it's when he comes back from the grave. He said, I'll be there 3 days and three nights, and he comes back. So he's known as the life. Now, I want us to reflect again just for a moment at the fact that John calls Jesus that, not he. Because we can say that it's not just that the message is about Jesus, or Jesus brought the message, but that he himself is the message, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the gospel. He is the life. He is the life. He is the life giver. He is the true God and true man who is proclaimed to people. And so what do we see that faith's about? Faith's about knowing him, true man and true God, and not just accepting different facts about him as true, but accepting him with the facts. Put it a different way. If I say to you, well, do you accept someone to be your boss? How would I find out if you accepted someone to be your boss? Would it be that you can tell me, well, in my company, their position is called director? Or whether you show me the chart, the operation chart, which shows your position, and it says reporting to the director. Now, you might say, well, hey, I know they're my boss. I say, okay, yeah, that's fine. You've told me that they're called director. You say, well, I accept it. You say, okay, I've shown you the chart of operations. And you say, well, no, I accept that they're my boss. And I'll say, well, do you follow their instructions? And you say, well, I don't do too much of that. I just try and kind of get away with it, keep my head down, and just get on with it. You say, well, you don't really accept them as your boss, then, do you? It's kind of like on your terms. And sometimes people today can even say, pretend that they've got this orthodox understanding. I know God, I accept him, but do we really accept God unless we accept him as God, true God and true man? Because it's as we come to accept him truly that we come to rely upon him. And what does that mean? Well, this passage doesn't go into much detail on what that means, but we have just a hint of it in verses 3 and 4, because it means to enter into relationship with him. He's true God, he's true man, and he's truly knowable. John describes a lovely family relationship. He says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. To John, church wasn't a place. Church wasn't an event. Church was a community to which he belonged. And he says, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, someone might say, well, I know God. And you say, well, do you worship the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, oh, no. But I know God. You say, well, that's interesting. But the God you know is not the God of the Bible. We can only know God if we have fellowship with God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do, in verse 3, it tells us that joy will be complete. John's joy is complete in knowing people who've experienced what he's experienced, of knowing God through the Lord Jesus Christ, sins forgiven, and being part of that community. Well, then, if we put these things together and come back to where we started in thinking about the nature of true faith. You know, sometimes people think about faith as a bit like a puzzle. Now, you know, you get one of those Rubik's cubes, or you get one of those little puzzles where you're trying to put things in place. Well, God's a God who doesn't make things complicated for us. He's a God who makes himself known. John's saying, I'm an eyewitness. Let me tell you about him. John's already written an entire gospel to explain who Jesus Christ was. And it's as if Jesus' eyewitnesses were kind of like his echo. They were just, if Jesus, you know, you go through a cave, you hear a loud shout, and then there's this oh noise that goes on. And it's as if down through the ages, the word of God comes to people's ears as an echo. And you might think, well, the echo can get quiet after a time. Well, we thank God that the Holy Spirit is like the amplifier. And he turns up the volume and says, listen up. Listen up. You need to know this God. So let me ask you today, where are you at with the stool? The Bible gives us the instruction manual. Do you know about him? Have you got that first leg of the stool? You say, no, I understand the gospel message. I understand that Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, is true God and true man. I understand that he left heaven and came to earth to die in my place so I could be forgiven. I understand that he's alive today. If you know that, that's good. If you've known that from a young age, that's a big privilege. Many people don't have that. But let me ask you a second question. Do you accept that as true? I'm not asking whether it is true or not. I'm asking whether you accept it as true. Some people just are running from it because I just don't want to accept it. You know it's true deep down, but you're resisting. If you're resisting, why? Why? What is unloving about the Lord Jesus Christ that you wouldn't want to accept him and accept the truth about him? The devil will whisper in your ear and you'll say, well, you won't be able to go your way. Well, what does the devil want to bring you into? He wants to bring you into sin. And what does sin always lead to? Misery. And you might say, well, I'm miserable now. Well, if you're miserable now, misery comes from sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ accepting the gospel message gives you release from that misery. So faith, the three legged stool, we know it, we accept it as true, and then as we're going to see in the next 2 weeks, we need to come to completely rely on it. Not just accept it true in our head, but rely on it in our heart and rest for salvation. That's where John was. He was relying and he's saying, look, I want to take you through this manual. If you want to know more, get his gospel out and read through it so that you might know, that you might accept, and that John is writing eventually that you might rely and know that joy. We know, accept, and rely upon God. We have those three things. We have true faith, and we can say with John, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our joy can be complete. Amen.